way to beat Bradley, who's going to be in the right position and probably look the winner at some stage. And Zabilian's running on. And San Telmo, now that he's finally broken through, I think he's got place claims as well. But two each way from 4, 3, and 6.
Yeah, once again, Darren, we could box the first four. I've gone 3, 4, 6, 2. And I've gone with Zabilian's. I just think he's got that upside to him. He's lightly raced Zabil, entire 8 starts now for 2 wins and 3 placings. He's coming off that easy last start win at Kembla over 2,000. He's got the upside for me, and the 2,200 will really suit him. I've got him on top of number 4, Bradley. Just want to see him break through and win one now. He's gone runner-up his past 2 after taking a long time to find any sort of form. He's got the gun jockey James McDonald on from the right draw. So he gets every opportunity today, but he has been posted favourite with tab.com.au. Number 6, San Telmo, broke through last start, could go on. And the 2, Felix Bay, I've also thrown him in as a value runner. 3, 4, 6, and 2.
All right, just going 10 o'clock, so let's have a look at the last here. Glenn, over the 1,000. Good. Rule the River's the one I want to hear.
Keep your powder dry there, Andrew. Yes, the tab.com.au handicap, last leg of the quaddy here, over 1,000. Floral Inside at $26. Cosmic Cameo at $17. Highly Geared's at $8. Karakuchi for Matty Dale at $8. Shadow Lord with the blinkers off again today at $16. Magic Jewel at $18. Don't Tease Me at $14. Quell is at $21. The second of Bensley's Bankers, Rule the River, is a $2.30 chance for Anthony Cummings, and he'll be our special guest on Tab Talk coming up after 10 o'clock. L.A. Cheval's at $10. Run Cannon Run at 26, Oils at 21, and Bonnie Tess is a $61 chance. One of the most confidently supported runners all day here is Rule the River, another horse scratch from Rose Hill on Saturday to be saved for this race here. $4.20 into $2.30, but today alone $2.60 into $2.30.
Yeah, look, she's probably going to take advantage here of what looks an extremely fast tempo with pressure coming from everywhere. L.A. Cheval drawn wide. Most expect her to find the front, but she's going to have to do a stack of work with horses like Quell drawn inside her and also closer to the inside, the likes of Cosmic Cameo, Magic Jewel, Don't Tease Me. Wherever you look here, Darren, Run Cannon Run's drawn the one. There's just pace everywhere.
Well, I remember the last time Run Cannon, that horse went around at Warwick Farm. They went at breakneck speed and Mr. Manhattan came over the top of them. Yes, apprentices and all the likely leaders. This just looks absolutely tailor-made for this favourite, Rule the River. She had enough pace that she could sit 2.5 lengths off the leader Festivity when resuming at Canterbury. Everybody suggested that she was going to need the run that day, so she's come on since then. She gets a bit of a weight relief with Regan Bayliss's claim. Festivity was so impressive winning at Rose Hill the other day. I think 2.30 is a reasonable enough price about this to Rule the River. It'll be a long wait, but this is the star bet of the day. Highly Geared was well rated when it won last time, and James McDonald sticks with it, so it's a good chance of claiming the Quinella. I think Cosmic Cameo has been in better class races, resuming, has the benefit of a trial can place. And a number 4, Karakuchi, I think the distance is very much on the sharp side, but it will benefit by the very strong tempo. But, Paul, I thought you looked an absolute standout here, Rule the River.
Yeah, look, I've got a second pick. I just don't want to dive in at that price, but look, she does map to get the gun run here. I've gone 3, 9, 10, 12. I went with Highly Geared, your second pick, and actually put her on top as an each-way bet because we're getting $8 about her. And I think the good thing with Highly Geared, she doesn't have to lead. And with all this pace and pressure going on, I think James McDonald has let a few go in front of him, take a sit, and she'll be the one ready to pounce if Rule the River strikes any traffic trying to get through the pack. So I'll go with Highly Geared each way at the $8 ahead of Rule the River, number 9. Number 10, L.A. Cheval. She's a speedy thing. She's got great stats, and she's coming off a very slick trial win. She's going to be hard to catch, but she's also going to do a bit of work. And number 12 is my Ruffy Oil. Same sort of thinking as you, Darren, when looking for a Ruffy here. This is the horse that will get out the back, have a bit of a bludge, and just charge through the pack late if they happen to really overcook it. So I've gone 3, 9, 10, and 12 in the last. I'll back Highly Geared each way.
All right, sounds like, Darren, you're waiting patiently for the last.
Yeah, I just thought she was the good thing of the day. Rule the River in the last, and my value bet will be Felix Bay in race number 6.
Okay, Felix Bay.
None of you have got Run Cannon Run anywhere?
In the last?
I've got it leading to the turn, Mun, and that's probably about it.
Well, we've just got $676 by 1,082 out of it from 26 into 18.
Okay.
So somebody likes it.
Yeah,
well, I'm not even sure if it definitely will be the leader at the halfway mark because there will be attackers.
That's true. Mm. Well, Chevelle will be right there too. So.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, watch for that through the day. All right. So race 7, number 9, and the value is Felix Bay for Darren, race 6, number 2. Thanks, mate. We'll hear from you about 12:45 to set the scene out there.
Yep, will do. Thanks, Colin.
Thanks, Darren. Darren Flindell. What about you, Paul?
Yeah, only the one today, Andrew. Race 4, number 7, Bold Beginning. I just think she maps perfectly today. She's coming off the right sort of trial, and she's got the tactical pace over her main rival. So it's a $3.20. I actually think that's a bit of value that Munza's offering this morning, so I'll jump in and take that now.
Race 4, number 7. The first at Warwick Farm at 1:45. Have a good day, Paul.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Paul Joyce with Darren Flindell, our preview for Warwick Farm. A break on Sky Sports Radio. Glenn will be with Sean Cosgrove, Anthony Cummings and NBL on Tab Talk.
Sky Racing is giving two lucky viewers the chance to win a once-in-a-lifetime Jeep Magic Millions Carnival experience.
Visit Sky Racing's Facebook page, tag a mate and tell us why you should be at the Magic Millions in January.
Prize includes luxury accommodation, airfares, exclusive Magic Millions events, plus a tandem skydive and more. Enter on Sky Racing's Facebook page and you could be living it up at the Gold Coast Magic Millions Carnival. Competition closes December 14. Visit skyracing.tv for
He's the Level Round Jug winner! $1 million camp! 1:50 and 2! The fastest Level Round Jug in history!
$1 million Cam. Already the sire of a $1 million horse in the US, PH Super Cam. $1 million Cam. Standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales, the go-ahead state in breeding and racing. Visit yerribee.com.au. That's yerribee.com.au.
This summer, Queensland will be turning on the blue skies, the golden sands, and the black type. Because with over 20 listed group races on offer, owners and trainers can pick up a lot more than a tan when they compete at the 2015-16 Queensland Racing Carnival. There's also the opportunity to qualify your horse for one of four $1 million Magic Millions races. For summer racing carnival details, visit racingqueensland.com.au.
Starter has the button, stalls are back and racing.
Field sent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set.
You're off. On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning, everyone. It is 8 minutes past 10 with Sean Cosgrove and from tab.com.au, Glenn Munsey. Morning, Munsey. How are you?
Very good, thank you, Sean. Now, just an addition to that race today at Warwick Farm, which is the fifth race, the All Too Hard at Vinery. I couldn't see it listed anywhere in the things were up, but it's a Heat of the Rising Star. That's why it's an all-apprentices race there right today, race 5. And thank you to one of my researchers, Shiner, for sending me that little note.
All right, terrific. Now it is 8 past 10. Anthony Cummings has got a couple going around today at Warwick Farm. He's also off to Wyong Thursday. He'll be at Canterbury Friday. And I'm wondering whether or not he may went to New Zealand to the Ready to Runs as well. We'll find out. He's with us now. Morning, Anthony.
Morning, how are you?
Good. Did you go to New Zealand to the Ready to Runs?
No, I had a try buying one, but they were quite dear, as it turned out. Or too dear for me, anyway. So I had a shot and missed and wait until next time.
How are you finding this concept, Anthony, of the Ready to Runs? Do you earmark certain, you try and find out certain people that prepare them, or?
Well, I think that's got a lot to do with it. I mean, I was a bit sceptical of the idea in the first place because, you know, the preparation for the sale, I think, sort of went against their long-term potential as racehorses. But in saying that, you know, we got Fontalino out of a Ready to Run in the Magic Millions, and that plainly has been a great success. We bought a Sidereus out of the English Ready to Run here not too far, about a month ago, and he trialled up really well, ran second to the Horse of Jones that ran second last Saturday. So, you know, it does offer a challenge for a trainer in terms of getting the saddle properly and to then go about being a racehorse because the preparation and what you're teaching is quite different to the preparation for Ready to Run. So that's the challenge for a trainer, but certainly in terms of going there and assessing ability and having the horses 12 months older than yearly stage, I mean, there are, you know, absolute benefits in that.
Anthony.
That horse is El Cid, if anyone's wondering that Anthony's talking about, by Sibirius out of Madame Blush, run second behind you, standing on the 16th of
May. I thought I had that on my own.
Well, someone will start looking up the results anyway, and I'm just trying to help these people out, Anthony.
You've just gone and backdoored him. That's what you've done. Anthony, with the recent increases in prize money, not only the country boonsal areas, but some of the big races, Sydney Cup and those sort of things have increased. Are you looking at any more with the staying bloodlines? Is that tempting you to go towards that way, or have you always just liked the spread of them anyway?
I usually like the spread of them. You try and buy the fastest horses you can for the least amount of money. Sometimes that means you buy more fillies than colts. Sometimes it's more stayers and sprinters. It sort of depends on what the rest of the market's doing. But I try and sort of swim against the tide a little bit, and in doing that, you find value.
Mm. Anthony, no dramas with the horse you scratched today, named after Edward, Calm and Serene.
No, it's just an awkward barrier and what looked perhaps an easier race on the weekend. She'll go there, but I was actually quite pleased with the last run. I thought she'd run well. And from the gate today, didn't want to waste the run.
Righto. Well, your first runner of the day comes up in race 6, and it's St. Telmo. He comes off that win at Gosford the other day, 2,100. He stretches out just a little bit further to 2,200. He's always given the impression he's going to get over a distance, and he's now fulfilling a little bit of that potential.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I was surprised that it took him so long to break his maiden. Just different things went wrong along the way, but he's threatened and been very close quite a few times. When he did win, he was pretty emphatic, I thought, the other day. He's working into some sort of peak fitness, and I think the step up in distance would be very much to his liking. His mum was a good stayer, and this guy certainly too has all the hallmarks of that.
And carries the colours made famous, of course, by Drago.
The Phillipses in Melbourne have been sort of long-time supporters, and they had a bit of a drought between wins, and hopefully they get another one today.
Now, Anthony, in the 7th, he got Rule the River in by Commands, and nice winner the other day at Canterbury over the 1,100, and it looks perfectly suited again today.
Yeah, it looks a nice race for her, I thought. Inside gate, once again, helps her. We had an option of running it last Saturday, and she's well up to that grade, but from, once again, the outside gate, and she's still learning, made a few mistakes the other day, even when she won. And I just thought the inside gate would be, or an inside barrier, and then we got one for today. Would be better for her. Pleased about that. She's done really well. The distance plainly is not an issue. She's going to be pretty hard to beat.
Well, listening to the boys discuss that race there, they should go warp speed in the last here. So it's just a matter of her staying in touch. And she kept railing up the other night, the other day at Canterbury when she won there first up. And Festivity, of course, confirming the form on Saturday.
Yeah, I do think Festivity probably improved off those first two runs. I thought he looked fantastic there on Saturday and ran to that. But just the same, Rule the River is a nice filly. She's very much on the improve, and she's got some good wins in store for her not too far away.
Anthony, just have a look at your runners. I think the next six or eight you're going around, believe it or not, all ridden by ex-Melbourne jocks, Brenton Abdullah or Regan Bayliss.
Is that right? And I hadn't realised that, but I mean, Brenton's in good form. He's reliable, and the horses run well for him. And Regan's sort of turned up lately, and he rides as good as anyone here, and you get 2 kilos off for using him. So, nice bloke. He looks to have good ability, and quite relaxed about having him on board.
Anthony, we've got the situation tomorrow where we had it last week at Hawkesbury, where we're the Racing New South Wales implementing their heat policy here, pushing the races back. So the first race tomorrow at Wyong is 3:03. Does that sort of upset the routine of the stables, because you've got a late start and you've got to travel, and then you've got to back up with another, of course, night racing at Canterbury on Friday?
No, I don't think so. On balance, it's better for the horses, and I think everything we're about is to their benefit. So I think that's a good move. For some of the kids in the stable, it can make life a little bit difficult, but we try and accommodate that in their schedules as well. So I think putting the horses first is always a good idea.
Anthony, I've just noticed the horse nommed for the first at Rose Hill said they called El Cid. Can you tell us anything about El Cid?
He's not running. He's not running. We've only got six acceptors. Only six acceptors. I tell you what is running on Saturday. I think we're going to have to change his name, Anthony, to Headcase, not Best Case.
He didn't fancy the wet the other day. I really thought he was at his best for his last start. And then, when the extra rain came, he was gone a long way from home and just not comfortable on the ground. His run at Flemington before that was excellent, and he found himself in the worst part of the track and ended in a traffic jam to boot. So, he wasn't beaten far, and even though he wasn't a style part of the track, I think had he got clear of running, he'd have been in the placings for sure. He's only got to get back to that form to be hard to beat on Saturday, but you know, it is a little bit of time between wins, as you're saying.
Yeah, and well, 54 kilos too on Saturday. He's down a little bit in the weights. Yeah, he's always been a horse that has promised a lot. Has he been a frustrating horse to be involved with?
Oh, it has been, as you say. I mean, you know, a fair bit of promise in the early part of his career, and just seems to have plateaued lately. And whether he's reached, you know, what he's capable of, you know, perhaps that's it. You know, ratings and time catch up with all of us one way or another.
Anthony, you've got a promising mare there that's only lightly raced and her runs have been well spaced. Hieroglyphics, where are you going to take her? She's only had the two back this after
yeah,
two
had
trials.
Back. There's another race for her coming up perhaps next Wednesday, but it might be that we wait a little bit as well. But the she's quite promising. Not a lot of her. She's well built, but she's sort of neat, I suppose you'd say, size wise.
Mm.
So don't want to go back too often to the well. She just doesn't take a lot of work right now. The racing sort of doing enough to keep her fit. And, you know, if you went back and sort of race her too often, I think she'd lighten off and you'd lose the prep. But, you know, she's obviously a talented filly. The first up win was excellent. Her run the other day was very good. I think she's probably a little bit unlucky in the finish not to win anyway, given the antics of the other horse.
Yeah, Latin Celsius you've got in Saturday. She's had her last four runs, she hasn't had a massive amount of luck, although she does step to Saturday grade.
Yeah, the last four runs sort of, was it Murphy's Law or some sort of horror story, time after time. But she continues to be well on herself. Her work this week is the next one. So I thought she'd go there and run her best race. And I think, you know, now the 1200 probably is quite suitable for her.
Another interesting one. You got Puzzling Wonder. He won at Wyong back in September, had a break and then a trial. Any reason why after Wyong he had the bit of a letter?
Yeah, just had a bit of a bug and a couple of temperature spikes sort of close together. The temperature at one stage sort of stayed up for too long to say that it was sensible to sort of maintain that prep. So we just gave him a short let up at the farm and he's back now. He looks fine. It was a nice trial the other day. Good gallop earlier this week. He goes there fitting well. He's a little bit out of a handicap, I suppose, at that benchmark level, but he's well up to that standard and hopefully works his way into carnival standard races later in the autumn.
Anthony, of course, we had the announcement yesterday from Racing New South Wales about the increase in prize money, mainly towards, you know, the country races there, and albeit being a city trainer, you're not going to let these races go by targeting them with your horse,
absolutely.
Are you?
I mean, you know, it really makes the whole industry more viable, and, you know, Racing New South Wales and the minister have got to be congratulated on applying the money where they have. You know, country racing needs to be sustainable in every respect for city racing to flourish. And, you know, it has been sort of lost in the wash a little bit over the last few years, but that's a pretty good game of catch-up. I think the whole industry in New South Wales will prosper for the sake of that.
Yeah, well, we've had the showcase meetings that we're going to have, 40-odd showcase meetings, minimum prize money, $30,000 each race. We've had showcase racing in Victoria for a number of years, but we could basically make them mini carnival days in a way in the country.
Oh, they can be. And, you know, the country folk get right behind their carnivals and their race days. And when the money's right there, you know, they sort of turn up in their droves and, you know, you'll find that there'll be more horses in work, that the trainers will be able to make a living out of it, where, you know, they've really been struggling lately. And so it is a great result, I think, for country racing in particular, but I think for New South Wales racing all over.
Yeah, I think, you know, big carnivals like, take Scone out because they're different, but your big carnivals like your Albury two-day carnival, your Wagga two-day carnival, your Grafton two-day carnival, they can only become bigger.
Oh, I think that's right. And we saw with the championships, you know, the support that the country areas brought to the championships and the way those races were supported in the heats in the particular areas. So I think that was a great success, and I think it really did get people in Druid Street excited. Certainly it did in Macquarie Street with the governor, the support that they got and the way all that was received. I suppose from the trainer's perspective now, the next thing that needs to be given attention is the basic costs. You know, we're sort of pushing for free noms and acceptances, and hopefully that's not too far away.
Well, Anthony, do you think that's a more reasonable across-the-board way to attack things rather than just lifting, for example, feature race prize money? Do we attract any better horse by lifting feature race prize money? Or is it better to make it cheaper to actually run?
Yeah, I think it gets to a point where, you know, you start, it doesn't have the effect that you might be looking for, but what racing does need is participation. It needs people, it needs horses to make it all work. And if you make those things more easily achievable in a financial sense along the way, then those numbers will increase. So, you know, the fact that we now have, you know, bigger syndicates racing horses, you've got 20 people perhaps in one horse, and it might have been that you could have had that same group of people had two horses or three horses in the old days. The costs, you know, keep going up. And, you know, the costs in New South Wales for a lot of things are far higher than they are in other places. And that's certainly, you know, we've brought that to the attention of the guys in town. Hopefully they're listening, and hopefully, you know, we get some action about that, you know, very soon, and make the whole thing more affordable.
Anthony, we'll come back straight after Hattrick and get your best. We already know El Cid is. Munns has fixed it right up completely, but we'll find out your second best in a moment. Now here's Hattrick race two.
Be licked at $2.50. Lane and ready, second on the card. Early quaddy starts here. We're ready. Racing, Scott Nawad's fair break, and then starts to slip back as B Lictor gets out okay. Evening Hill out wider and Smart Dandy lead off. Now B Lictor kicks through the inside and Scott Nawad's follows it through. Then Malign, Scott Nawad's gets checked. Further back in the race here, then we've got Sammy Banks, the Gold Star Lexi Gully Yaffa. B Lictor kicks clear on Evening Hill. Big gap back Malign. B Lictor's in nicely from Evening Hill and Malign. Sammy Banks has managed to get to fourth, is followed across there by Scott Nawad's. Back behind those runners to Smart Dandy, Gold Star Lexi Gully Yaffa.
Now 265 there, 2 B Lictor, 240.104. Number 6 was second, Evening Hill. It'll pay for the place, $6.80, and 5 Malign, $1.70, 265. Well, Munch have fixed up El Cid. Officially a better bet than death. Now, Anthony. Now that's gonna get the man with the baseball bat run out in front of it now, you know that, don't you? After that, what's your second best thing?
There's an English nursery race in a couple of weeks' time, and it's a $500,000 race at Randwick, so he comes out of the ready to run.
Unfortunately, he's not eligible for that, unfortunately.
Even though he comes out of a ready to run.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not quite sure how that works, but I think he'd been through the ring once before and not at an English sale, so that eliminated from that.
Oh, well,
so that's a bit unfortunate, but nevertheless, nice horse, and he'll make his way regardless. With a bit of luck, we might have another one for that, but I can't. He hasn't got a name yet, so
Don't worry, I'll work it out.
what can we get a bank for El Cid with? Have you got one?
Well, I think Rule the River today. I mean, she is going pretty good and puzzling wonder on Saturday. I haven't seen his barrier yet, but he's always well. He's going to run very well.
Right, I'll just tell you what his barrier is on Saturday as I flick to it, Puzzling Wonder in the last race. Big field. You'll be happy, barrier 5, but 5 of 15.
Happy with that?
Yeah.
All right, at least we'll please you with one thing. That's good. Right.
You've done well because Latin Salsa's come up with barrier 1 on Saturday in a field of 14. 5 of 15 for Puzzling Wonder, and Best Case has come up with barrier 2 in a field of 7.
The inside will be off, won't it?
Yeah, Lindsay's just there watering at the moment.
I'm just wondering whether he's telling you the truth or just trying to square off. Making them up.
And I look forward to seeing Carmen Serene out there today.
Very good.
All right. Good on you, Anthony. Good to catch up.
I warn him you're on the lookout.
Thanks, Anthony. Anthony Cummings there at 23 past 10 at Sky Sports Radio. Now, Hattrick the second. Number 2, Be Lictor, 240.104, 6 Evening Hill, paid $6.85, Malign, $1.70, and 4th-8, Sammy Baxter. Time to look at the NBL, 2 months, and Jeremy Lowlish, General Manager of the NBL, joins us now. Jeremy, good morning, how are you?
Good morning, how are you, gentlemen?
We're well, thank you. Melbourne United, what's happening there?
Wow, that was a big shock, wasn't it? Last week's win by the Crocs over United in Melbourne, without their reigning MVP, Brian Conklin, had to be the upset of the season so far. Big question mark, and Townsville beat the ladder leaders twice inside a week. They are at home this time. Conklin is back. Melbourne have lost 3 games in a row. It's a line ball, but my gut's telling me to stick with United to bounce back on this one up in Townsville.
Well, you can take $2.60 about Townsville there, $1.50 Melbourne in that match in the NBL, and I'll just tell you what the line is. It's probably going to be 4.5 to Townsville. So you don't even think the 4.5's enough?
Look, I really think this one's a line ball. My head in some ways is telling me that Townsville, because it's at home and Conklin's back, but my gut is telling me to stick with United, and the line is anyone's guess.
Right, well, that match will tip off tomorrow night at 7:30. Tonight, down there in Wollongong, a bit of a derby between the Hawks and the Sydney Kings, where the Hawks are $1.55 here. Sydney at $2.45. They should be too strong at home, the locals.
Oh, I'm travelling up to the Gong to see this one because I think it will be a belter. Two teams that desperately need a win. Illawarra have won once in their last four and Sydney have won once in their last five. But take into account the return of Josh Childress for the Kings, it should give them a good boost. But on the flip side, Childress has played just one of the Kings' last 17 games. So whether or not he's got the match fitness in his legs remains to be seen. But the Hawks are a far better side at home than they are away. And Sydney are the only team this season that hasn't won on the road. So you've got to go with the Hawks at home on this one.
Well, they might get to play it in a fair dinkum sandpit, the Hawks, to tire out Josh Childress.
Could well be right.
Cairns take on Adelaide. That is Friday night there. And in this match, Tab has Cairns $1.60, Adelaide $2.35.
Wow, $2.35. Well, last time they met, the Taipans won on a last-second buzzer beater from Markel Starks on a 104-101. So a very high-scoring, classic game with a classic finish. Cairns are undefeated at home so far this season and look to be improving from the poor start to the year that they had on the road. Adelaide are the most unpredictable team in the competition at this stage, but I'd say you've got to go with the hometown Taipans.
Jeremy, the Perth-New Zealand Breakers game, have the Breakers been a surprise packet?
I don't think so. They've won four out of the last five championships.
Yeah, I mean, coming into the season, yeah. They just seem to be travelling so well.
They had a rough start to the season, I think, primarily because they were missing Corey Webster, who was over at NBA tryouts for a long time. And since coming back, he's been leading the league in scoring. His performance against Melbourne United in New Zealand last week was absolutely incredible. Look, this is the league's most intense rivalry, and it's playing out on Friday night for the 50th time. Second place on the ladder is the prize for the winner of this game, and the Breakers are the form team of the competition at the moment. But the Wildcats are always tough at home in the West. Corey Webster's the man in form, as I said. He didn't play the first time these teams met in Perth, and the Wildcats only won that by 3 points. So without Damien Martin back, who is their key defensive stopper that they would have been playing on Corey Webster, Webster back in really good form. I think the Breakers are going to have too much firepower and will take the win for Perth at home.
Well, certainly got to be the toughest road trip in the league there, especially, you know, for the Breakers. Their body clock's telling them that they're going to be taking the court at 11:30 at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, they flagged that with me during the week as a really significant challenge for them travelling all the way over to Perth. But, look, they're seasoned campaigners. They play so well together. They know each other like no other team in the competition. I think they've got the chemistry and the firepower to get the job done.
Okay, Perth 165 there. The Breakers at $2.25. The line in that game is one of 2.5 to the visiting New Zealand Breakers. And then we finish the matches we've got up Saturday night. The two sides that play tonight and tomorrow night, Illawarra and Townsville. So the Hawks get a double go at home. They're $1.30. The Hawks here, Townsville at $3.50, and they'll give up a healthy line there. The Illawarra Hawks, 1 of 7.5.
Yeah, when they met in round four, the Crocs were dominated by AJ Ogilvie, the big man from Illawarra, in what was, I think, one of the most dominant performances of the season. Townsville, though, will fancy their chances this time after taking down some big-name scalps on the road recently. So you can never write the Crocs off, and they go into every game as the underdog. But I think they'll carry that mantle again this time. I think the Hawks will be too strong at home.
What's the best? What should we have our money on this week, Jeremy?
Look, given the odds that you gave the Breakers, I think that's fairly good money. I reckon the Breakers are a really good chance to beat Perth, despite it being at home. Corey Webster in the kind of form that he's in, Tom Abercrombie and Cedric Jackson, the three of them at the moment are just on fire, and I think anyone will have a hard time keeping them quiet.
Well, they're $2.25 for that match on a Friday night, a 9:30 tip-off here Eastern Time at Perth Arena between the Wildcats and the Breakers. A little bit of a light round this round. Round 8, only 5 matches, but a massive week next week. We've got 7 matches coming up in Round 9, kicking off with the return match, the Breakers and Perth back in New Zealand.
Yeah, there's some very big games next round. I'm looking forward to a number of them. I think Adelaide and Melbourne will be a really exciting game as well, but I'm salivating at the prospect of 7 games next week. This is a bit light for me. It's not quite enough basketball for one weekend.
All right. You'll get your fill. You'll have a nice overdose. We'll talk to you next week, Jeremy.
Good on you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy Lalicha there from the NBL Now. Race 1 at Tiaroa. They are about to load here, and a full field of eight. The favourite, number four, Mr. Barak, $3.70 and $2.40 for Matthew Cameron. The others in the market, the 6 El Pistola at $3.90 and the 7 Zavera at $4. Yeah. So not much between the three of them there.
Yeah, well, I tell you, they're equal favourites here, Mr. Barak and El Pistola. Sean, $3.20 each of two. There is eight times the amount of money on Mr. Barak than there is on El Pistola. Our third pick is Zaviera here at $3.80, and there's double the amount of money on Zaviera than El Pistola. So I can tell you there, our punters don't want a bar of the equal favourite here. They want to be on Mr. Barak and Zaviera and bet against El Pistola.
All right, loading pretty well. Let's go there.
$1.60 ahead of 6 El Pistola, $4.150 and 4 Mr. Barak, $4.30 and $1.60 for the place. Track rating a good 3, the rail in the true position. And now the last one to come in is the last couple, in fact, to Fast Profit. And Mr. Barak. Kidnapped has drawn the inside gate. Mr. Barak. The bright pink colours of owner Scott Richardson. Goes into barrier 2. And Fast Profit will be the last one in for East Jones. He'll go into the outside gate. Rough Copy is ready. Zaviera the favourite. So just working on Fast Profit here. And Fast Profit. They'll be nudged forward here. Rest of the field stand well. Zaviera, $3.80, $1.60 favourite. So Fast Profit. Still to come in. And he's almost in now. Start 35 today. So Fast Profit. Oh, Mr. Barak's gone off. Mr. Barak has gone off in his stall here. So we might just go back to our respective studios because Mr. Barak